Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Amen.
Good morning. How are you? Happy New Year. It's on behalf of Leslie and I, we just want to say it's not enough, but thank you so much. You probably know if you're part of the prayer chain, if you're not and you want to be and keep up with things going on, that our family had a torrid time with illness, and our granddaughter elect, I call her, she's been adopted into our family, which is a great expression of God's love and his chosen method of relationship. Is she was in ICU in a hospital, and when a 7-week-old baby is in ICU, it's hard. And Leslie's mum was in hospital at the same time in the other side of the country. And just to add it all, I thought I'd throw my bit in and get a bit poorly myself, in case Leslie wasn't stressed enough. But we just appreciated so much your texts and your prayers. And we just felt the heartbeat within that. And I'm so grateful to Josh, my co-worker here, laboring the gospel, who just... We'd already planned that Josh would take the Christmas services. God was went ahead of us. And a few weeks ago, Josh said, oh, I'd love to do those Christmas services. And it was great, great. Way before all of this. So the Lord knows. Isn't it great? The Lord knows what you're going to face before you face it. And the words of that song are amazing, because we serve one who gives us a way in the dark. Even when we don't feel like praising, that's the best time almost to do it. It's a term, sacrifice of praise. We don't. It's not a sacrifice of praise if we feel like it. It's like I'm praising and I really could hardly kind of lift my head. And it's so good. I think Artie Kendall talks about those who go through the betrayal barrier. You know, where somehow you feel God has let you down, yet you're able to say, even if he slays me with Job, yet will I praise him. And it's a beautiful place. And I would say, if you're in that place of where you feel betrayal, or you feel that somehow God hasn't shown up in your plan or whatever happened, is that he's always at work, and keep praising him, because he wants us to lift our eyes to the hills to see where our help comes from, and he wants to lift our agenda to his. There's a new fridge magnet for visitors. You'll probably think, thank you. Well, that's at least 6 of you are going to take them. They're at the back near the tea table. I still think we have about 100 fridges in the church. We have a fridge ministry. It's quite a cool thing to get involved with. Thank you very much. So please do take one of these, one pair fridge, please, and live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. And what Paul is writing to a church that has been slaughtered, absolutely crushed in Thessalonica. And we're going to do a whole series starting next week, God willing, on 1 Thessalonians, taking us through to the summer. I'm so excited. In every chapter, it mentions the Lord's coming back. Isn't that great? Isn't that my motivation? He's coming back. Wow. But Lord, even to this crushing church says, wow, you know, your faith's been reported all over. And I know you've been crushed, but live lives worthy of the King who called you, of his kingdom, of his glory. Live lives. Don't look down. Don't look down. See the miracle worker. See the guy. See the one. And so please take one of those. And every time you open your fridge, you'll remind where our citizenship is. Our citizenship is in heaven. You should have a notice sheet. Thank you so much to Ems and Steck and all the others who kind of proofread and look at this. There's some great stuff in our notice sheet. Please read it. And, yeah, that bit as well. And the reason we haven't got a communion table today, I found out today Barry had been in hospital and he's not been great as well. So please pray for Barry. But in the notice sheet as well, we're praying for those who can't make it regularly. We have an increasing list of people like Derek Simpson and Charles Windridge and Lennon Mari and Bert who struggle to be here. We really want people to really come along. This is a servant. He's a servant guy, isn't he? He's just amazing. Thank you very much indeed. That's fantastic. Thank you, Sammy. That's great. But we have a whole list of people who need loving and calling and that. And if that's your heartbeat, please do see us, see Lou or myself. We want that to be a central part of our pastoral coordination, to make sure people aren't disconnected from the church. Also, please read about a members' meeting. 17th, it's going to be a very short meeting. We want to affirm basically what Josh has been doing for the last 4 years. And I think if you needed a Blue Peter, here's one we prepared earlier. It's probably the Christmas period where I was just so grateful for Josh to lead in the charge and to doing what he does. And he's been co-laboring. It's not a case of exalting people. It's about almost flattening out. We are simply servants. Paul said, what is Apollos? What is Paul? Doesn't even say who. We are simply servants. Maybe we could change the constitution to call all the leaders slaves. It'd be much more, I think, flattening and much more realistic about what we're supposed to be. So let's not get any ideals of hierarchy here. This is about co-laborers in the gospel who simply want to go forward and take us forward as a church. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to take us into our motto. Today's a motto service. If you're wondering, and I won't stand on the lights, else I might go up in flames, and that would be interesting. End or start to the whatever, yes. Shall we pray? So, thank you so much, Lord, that as we've heard today, Lord, you are always at work. And Lord, we pray right now, more than anything, we need you, Lord, in a world that is in chaos, we think particularly of Australia. Lord, I thank you that there are people who have never acknowledged you, who are crying out to someone, who are praying in their way, Lord. And I pray that you will break through the smoke and the flames, that, Lord, as they look closer like Moses did in that bush, that they might see you, the great I am, the one who is in control of all things. Lord, might it be that might be a nation in Australia that truly is on fire for the King. Lord, might it be your people are used, they step up to serve, to help, to comfort. Lord, for this nation, as we take a new turn in our whole political arena at the end of this month, whatever that looks like, Lord, we thank you that our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. That we are aliens and strangers, yet we are in the world but not of it. Yet, Lord, you give us a brief now, here, with our feet on the ground, to make close followers of Jesus, who make close followers of Jesus. I pray today for any who can't see beyond there now, that we just see your face, and the things of this world would grow dim, And Lord, I would just see in perspective what you're doing. That it would be enough for me to trust you, Lord, the one who can see. To take each step. Your truth is a lamp for our feet. So help us, would you, now as we look to this verse, that we might be encouraged as your followers to be your ambassadors wherever you've placed us. We thank you for the work going on amongst our children, amongst our youth, as our community, ministries and cafes and all sorts of things start. Lord, I pray you'd, Holy Spirit, breathe freshness into our desire and passion to serve, into weary bodies and minds and hearts. Lord, we'd serve everyone, but we'd have one master. And that motivation for those words, well done, good and faithful servant, would keep us keeping on for you. We just pray your blessing wherever your gospel is declared today, up and down this land and beyond, Lord, that you would get the glory. People might turn from darkness to light, death to life. For those who return to school and colleges and universities, Lord, may your children be ambassadors and be viral in those places for the kingdom. So, Lord, be with us. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I wrote in the pastor's desk about things that go together. Now, you might, I don't know if you, what sort of things you think go together. I think of things like strawberries and cream and things like that. And I think they do. I mean, they do exist separately. Of course they do. I mean, I love stealing strawberries out of the fridge. Do I steal them out of my own fridge? No, I don't steal them out of yours. But yeah, I just like to take a strawberry and... things like, I've put things like Ant and Dec. I don't know if that, is that good? I don't know, you're probably all horrified now. And beans on toast, I mean, you know, they go together, don't they? These things are stuff that, yes, of course, they're fine individually, but there are some things that just go together. They really do. And the Bible is kind of full of these kind of duets, if you want, and even these triplets, if you want, of things that, these kind of things that, that go together and that complement each other. They provide a healthy balance. And so, as a believer, I want to sing about my great privilege I have in Jesus. I have a great privilege. It's wonderful. I'm saved. I'm a citizen of heaven. The King of Kings has given me his Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. I can't get my head around that. We often talk about trying to encourage people to get closer to Jesus. Well, how close do you want to be if he lives in you? I think it's just about realizing that he's already there and that he already loves me. Just because I'm in a really hateful mood and I don't like myself very much, you know, he loves me. And so often there's these things in Scripture that really enhance. I'm so much more grateful for my salvation when I consider the cost of my salvation, what it cost God himself, his only son. I'm so grateful. There's things like the love and justice of God. The love of God is enhanced when we compare it to the justice of God. So there are things that actually are good in themselves, but actually they really go together. And in some ways, I guess maybe are less without the other. It's about this collective vision of what it means. And it's captured here. Paul is writing to saved people. And we're going to look at this in slow time over the coming weeks in the church in Thessalonica. What a church. And they are getting battered. But they're getting battered and bruised, and there's all sorts of issues. And Paul's worried because these aren't seasoned believers. These guys haven't been to church for 40 years. These are fresh believers. And so Paul, you can imagine, they're in the midst of wolves here. And he's worried that actually maybe they're just not mature enough to cope with the Roman onslaught and all sorts of things. We'll look at this. But to this fledgling church who's been battered, he gives them great comfort in the Lord's return. But he actually says, I want you to live lives worthy of God who calls you. You are saved. Our whole motto this year is that we are saved to follow. We are saved with a purpose. We are saved to follow. So there's no such thing. We did this when we looked at the first 24 chapters of Exodus last year. I can say now that actually God's people were always saved with a purpose. If salvation was the terminus, then the book of Exodus, we said last year, would have stopped at chapter 15 at the worship service. But it didn't, because God calls the people to himself to then follow him and be a light. So as well as ant and deck and beans on toast and all these sort of things, saved and following are part of the same coin. They are part of the same arrangement with God. And I guess if anyone could have a complaint or have a kind of at least a pushback against that, it might have been the church at Thessalonica. Maybe they should just keep their heads down for the first few years. We can say today, maybe through your trials, it's easier said than done, Keith, following. Well, I would agree with you. When I see Jesus speaking, he seems to talk about the narrow way. Whoever wants to come after me must deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow. I don't see any sort of easy believism in Scripture. Yet if I'm brutally honest with my own desires, I really want my life to be smooth, really. I mean, who wouldn't? I don't welcome these sort of trials that James says I should. Not this James, but the James in Scripture. I mean, James might as well. He says, consider it pure joy. And then gives reasons, because it's producing in you this likeness. So how can we live up to this as people who are Christ? And if you're not today, hold on, I want to speak into that. How can we live up to being identified as a follower of Jesus? How can we do that? Well, maybe the glib answer for me is, well, you've got the Holy Spirit, crack on. That's it. You know, he's living in you. Just listen to it. It's just easy. It's a really glib. You know, you've got the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, there are lots of people that do some really weird things in the name of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter says to us, well, his word, God's word, has given us everything we need to live a godly life. So what I'd say here, there is another inseparable combination, which is the Holy Spirit and God's word. And the Christian life, my life of following, is a life of balance. You might use the word tension. I use that a lot, but you might prefer balance. That probably says more what I mean. The word of balance between understanding the love of God here and the justice of God, understanding that I'm saved to follow. I am on this kind of trajectory. If I go too far towards either end, that I'm just talking about my own salvation, that I'm not looking out for following or transformation. Or if it's just about following, maybe I'm not really celebrating that in the light of my great salvation. Or if I'm just talking about the love of God here, and it doesn't matter what you do, God loves you anyway, and we'll all get to heaven in the end, then what about the justice of God? If it's just all about, well, you're all going to fry, it's all going to be God's judgment, it's all going to be really nasty. What about the great love of God who so loves you, who doesn't want anyone to perish? Can you see how the Christian life, what I love about it is a life. It is not a set of orthodoxies. It's not a set of beliefs we sign it to at the beginning of a church when we sign up and say, well, that's what I stand under now. It is a life is a living tension of living and breathing and kind of getting to know who Jesus really is. I'm still discovering who Jesus is, aren't you? Does anyone know fully, completely, and can tell us? Is anyone never surprised anymore by Jesus? When he says, isn't it great that he includes all the people that the church excludes sometimes? And I just kind of, I don't have resolutions, but I want to be someone who looks at all folk through Christ-tinted spectacles and has that view. But how is it possible? How can we, we're not in the position of the church at Thessalonica, but I would suggest that many people are oppressed in their faith in many ways. Sometimes people say to me when I visit them, they'll say, Keith, to be honest, it's just hard enough getting out of bed and working every day. And it's hard. It's okay for you. You're paid to be a Christian. You know, I'm good for nothing. As in, yeah, you know what I mean. You're paid to be good. And so I go to work and I do my job and I come home and I look after, by the time I put the last child to bed and they've got up seven times and by the time I've done everything else, then I kind of turn my head towards this. And what this whole mood of what we've been doing as a church is seeing following Jesus through putting the child to bed in the sixth time or seventh time, because I can follow Jesus doing that. In that there's never a time, it's probably a double negative, sorry, there's never a time that we're not a follower of Christ. And so how can I do this? How can I consciously be aware that I'm safe to follow? Can you imagine? In every situation, just knowing that I'm in the right home, the right place, in the right time, and just knowing. Having that fine-tuned heart that keeps in step with the Spirit, that even knows what bus to catch. And the conversation you have on that, or the train, and expects God to show up in everything. And so I'm so pleased that we are seeking to develop the spiritual disciplines here as a church. And that's very visible with the prayer room. If you've not visited yet, please, please do. And ask Liz and the team about access and about using that. It's not the only place in the world, but it's a place that helps spiritual discipline. It visibly reminds us of the need to hear him. And I need to do that. I don't want to plan this schedule out and say, well, that's it, God, you know, I'll give you a shout if it gets a bit sticky in church. That's not what I want to do. How is it possible? Keith, how can I encourage every one of you? Well, I can't. How do we encourage each other if we're saved? If we've said, Jesus, I love you, I want to follow you, how can we encourage each other to really follow, really, really hear him and follow? Well, the first thing it does, it comes out of relationship. It comes out of relationship. If you read verse 11, thank you so much for reading that, Derek, to us. Paul said this to the church at Thessalonica: for you know that we dealt with you, each of you, as a father deals with his own children. And it's a beautiful picture. Because, you see, telling, which is easy to do, this is what you should do. I'm here and, you know, you're paying me to preach this, and so this is the truth, and you really should all do better at doing this. That's not a great approach. It comes out of how do we influence one another to follow? Is we get in relationship with one another. But often what is, if we just tell people, well, if the only time I ever spoke about following was on this platform, it can just lead to resentment. Well, it's okay for you. I don't want to do that. You haven't got my life. But as a father deals with his own children. Earlier on, it was wonderful what Paul said. He said, just as a nursing mother cares for her children in verse 8, so we cared for you. Because, listen to this, this is beautiful. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Can I ask a question? How easy do we find it to share our lives with one another? You know, it can be very, 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 very easy for me. How easy do we find that? To share our lives. To say to people, I've had a really rubbish time. I know it can be easy for some people to hear a pastor say, it's been really hard. I've really struggled. And I think that's a shame. Because Paul says, you know, we gave our very selves to you. Paul was absolutely there. And when you're in relationship, I'm so grateful for our servant leadership team. We spent and are spending an increasingly amount of one-to-one time. And the understanding increases tenfold when you spend that time together. It's so easy. And I would even suggest, even in a life group situation, we can choose in that to sit on the edge of that and allow the dominant voices to dominate. Real heartbeat, one-to-one, which says, you're not going to judge me if I tell you I don't feel God very much at the moment, is beautiful. And I want to encourage you, if you feel rubbish, you can't hear him, that you can share that without judgment and fear of reprisal, because sometimes it's the same for me. That's fine, isn't it? You okay with that? Because I know the truth that I sit under is that he's always there and he's always at work. You're absolutely right, Jason. The Bible's absolutely right. And Paul, as he goes through Thessalonians, he starts using imitation. He says, I want you to imitate me as I imitate Christ. Imitate me. Following. How do I follow? Well, I follow by getting to know someone and say, you know, I remember when I came to Christ at 16 and my uncle, I just followed him around like a kind of, I don't know what it was. What would you use? Some metaphor picture. He couldn't get rid of me. I'm sure he wanted to shake me off his leg. He was tall enough and I was small enough, you know. But I wanted to be part of that. There was something off the platform. And so Paul here, he's already been embedded in the church at Thessalonica, saying, you know, as a mother with a nursing and children, as a father with his children, you know, we gave our very selves to you. And so I know how hard this is for you, but I want you to live lives worthy of the kingdom. Worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. And when you know, can I say, I say this a lot, when you know someone loves you, I mean really, really wants you to grow in Jesus and loves you and prays for you, it's so much easier when they say things. It makes so much more sense to me when someone says, Keith, you know, and I know they love me. Can I say the problem with this is it's costly. And in our arena here in the UK, in the West, it's mainly costly through time. Investing at that level with people will mean that we probably have to make some choices around what that looks like. It might not be forever choices, but it might be, Lord, who is it? Who are they? It may be. Who is it? What is it? And I'm convinced that the Lord is so good that he will bring to mind people for you. He will bring to mind those he wants you to give your very self to. Now, you might say, Keith, I'm a private person. That I would die 1,000 deaths with that. But the fact of the matter is, it's got to be a gentle, very natural, spirit-led liaison. And it starts with me asking, Lord, who is it? Who can I give myself to? Is it more than one? I don't know. It's costly. And so what does that look like when I get alongside you or when you get alongside people? How do we encourage someone who's so low and battered? Or someone who's, maybe the opposite, maybe they're just satisfied with not really doing very much. You know, that can happen as well. That maybe what they responded to when they first came to Christ was a prayer in a book. And it never demanded very much of them at all. They were just said, well, you're going to heaven and you've got to survive now, including church. You've got to survive all that until Jesus comes or you go to heaven. And they survive quite well in the church. They've got a bit of a role in that church and that defines them, and don't you spoil it. That happens. So how do we encourage when I'm close enough to you? Secondly, we encourage, Paul says, we comfort and we urge. For you know, verse 11, that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Encourage. How do you do that? Get alongside. I'm really, really praying for you. When I get a text from people in here, it's great. It makes my day. It just changes things. Isn't that silly? It is good, isn't it, Liz? Isn't it? It's good. I send a few out. Try it. You don't have to go down and do the whole thing. Have a three-course meal to encourage someone. Or send them a note. Yeah, I thought of you today. You might have thought of them already, but you just never told them, and they don't know, so they're never encouraged because you never told them, but God knows, I know that. And message and say, I thought of you today, I want you to know, I've been really praying for you, I don't know why, but it's just, I want you to know that. Yeah. The amount of people who text back saying, you will not believe the timing of that text. Encourage, help, run alongside. Come on, run alongside. I remember Stuart's not here today, but when I first started running, haven't been for a while, as you know, Christmas and that and all this. But Stuart was a brilliant runner, brilliant, quick runner, tall, longer legs than me, and that obviously. I'm all right about it, don't worry. But he would run with me. He didn't have to do that. He was bored, probably, but they heard the gospel then, didn't he? So he got baptized. He's here now. There you go. I'll teach him. But he would encourage me, run with me, and he didn't need to do that. He could have said, no, my goal is to be the best runner, and my personal goal is to, and we can say, my personal goal is I'm close to Jesus, I'm going along, and look at those poor people struggling with Christ. Well, that's really unfortunate. I'm praying for you guys. Hey, I might stop and just run with you. Say, yeah, this is really hard. That happened to me, and this is what happened when And comforting, yeah. Can I just not dismiss but acknowledge your struggle today? But Paul says, I don't want that to disable your following, church at Thessalonica, believer. So I want you to not only encourage and comfort, I want you to urge. This is about urging. This is urging as well. Keep going. I urge you. We encouraged, we comforted, we urged you to keep going, to live this life as hard as it is in this world. That's people are trying to kill you, church in Thessalonica. This was really awful for them. Keep going. Encourage, comfort, urge as I give myself to you. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Isn't it beautiful? Can you imagine yourself in that sort of thing now? And imagine how viral that would be if everyone had one or two that we just jigged along, and then we started. And you could hear the movement and share stories of, we want to do that. And Paul, you see, often in his writing, he will use these three-part things as well. You know, we encouraged, we comforted, we urged you, you know. To the Thessalonians earlier on in 1 Thessalonians, he says, we remember before our God and Father, chapter 1, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope, faith, love, and hope. Paul often uses three things together. Here it's comfort and encourage, comfort, and urge. In Romans 5, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. So perseverance, character, and hope, faith, hope, and love. I want to encourage, comfort, encourage, and urge you. Paul often uses this kind of approach. And so here, out of relationship, church, honest, can we just battle together in 2020? Battle together. And when Jason said what he said, If you're a visitor, it may have been slightly lost. But this man has been through the most awful time. And I'm sorry, that he knows I love him, so we spent a lot of time in each other's company, so he knows my heart on him. And when I hear Jason standing here saying that, I can do that. And I think we can all do that. And I salute you. And Jason, you're a man of God that is showing and shining what it means to follow Jesus in the dark. And it's a privilege to serve with you. And what will be the goal of doing all this anyway? So we can just love each other and be nice? Is that the goal, that we can... it's a nice church there. You people are friendly and you can encourage just to follow Jesus yourself. Paul says the goal, that you might live lives worthy of God. I want to do that. I want people to just not even know and go, what is that about that runner or that person? I want to live a life that Paul might say is the fragrance. Encouraging, comfort, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into our kingdom. So that's our part as we bring this down today. There's no communion today. We'll do that next week. But our part is to be relational. How can we encourage saved people to follow as well and to realize that actually we can together encourage each other? Well, we're relational. It comes out of relationship. We encourage, we comfort and urge each other to follow, to live lives worthy of God who saved us. So what's God's part? What does he do? Apart from what he's already done in Christ at the cross. Has he just left us to get on with it and work it out? When he saves us, what does God call us to do? Second part of verse 12. To live lives worthy of God who calls us into his kingdom and his glory. When God saves us, what's so beautiful? Remember, at 16 years old, I realized there was a plan way beyond my little life. I had all these questions at 16 years old. Would anyone ever employ me? I left school with two GCSEs. I was immature. I know it's hard to believe that. And I thought, no one's going to employ me. It was both in English, by the way, so I thought I was all right. One was a grade A, so don't get on my back. And people are looking at me a bit strange. I've studied a little bit since then, but don't worry, that doesn't define me, okay? I just remember thinking, will I get married? All these questions. And the Lord just burst into my life and said, Keith, I've got a grander plan for you. Don't you worry. I want you to follow me. And it's going to be really tough. And if it had told me everything, I wouldn't have done it. If he'd have said to me, by the time you're 21, you'll be in two combat situations, I'd have said, I'm not doing that. But all he did say to me was, Keith, you're going to go through some tough stuff, but I'm going to be with you always to the end of the age. And he has been. And that's all I need to know. I don't want to know what I'm going to face, that horrible thing. I don't. I'm not a coward. I just don't want to know. I trust the King. He's enough. He's enough. And when the Lord saves us, his part, what's his part? He says, come on, I've got a much grander plan and purpose for your life. I want you to live now. Guess what? No longer for you. I'm not going to come into your life. You're going to come into my kingdom plan. I want you to live a life worthy of my kingdom and all for my glory in everything you do. Isn't that great? I want to be a baker for the kingdom of God. I want to be a homemaker or whatever you call that. Or I want to be a plumber for the kingdom of God. His purposes, whatever that looks like, I want to do that. I want you to live for my glory, Keith. I want people to look at you and see Jesus, see my son. And when you fail, I'm going to slowly change you. So that happens more and more. And when you see me, at the end, you're going to be like me. Until then, encourage one another. Come on. God's part is to call us to a much grander purpose than our daily trudge. As real and earthy as that looks like for us, and that's where we are now. But you know, that's why Paul can say, don't set your hearts on things here. Set your hearts and minds on things above. Not that we're so heavenly minded as to say we're no earthly use. It's just about knowing where the ultimate destination is. And actually, in the meantime, I want to be busy for the kingdom. And my king, who loves me first, and I love him now as well. You're saved. We are saved to follow. God saves us, not simply to live our old lives with some maybe added personal insurance security plan about our eternal destiny. But he saves us to live lives for his kingdom and his glory. That's why Jesus, when he taught the disciples to pray, so that don't bring your shopping list out every day. Pray, thine be the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. And I want to be part of that. And I want to draw alongside people. And we need to do it, all of us. All of us needed in this project. That we might really give ourselves to one another. Wouldn't that be great in 2020? That we might encourage and comfort and urge to live lives worthy of God, who calls us into his kingdom and all for his glory. I love this. So, okay, Keith, I'm an introvert. How can I start being relational? Can I just say, ask the Lord to show you in small ways. Within your personality type, you're beautiful. Don't try and become anybody else. Lord, is it one? Who is it? Start with me, Lord, as well. Don't be ashamed to go up to someone and say, could you meet with me? I see in you something of Jesus, and I want that. That's beautiful. Maybe pray, Lord, how can I encourage, comfort, and urge those around me the Lord has given me to follow him? Maybe perhaps pray as we close. Lord, show me what it means to live a life worthy of you, a life called to serve your kingdom purpose for your glory. Can I just say, I'd be amiss if I didn't, that maybe you've not even started yet. You're thinking, what on earth is he talking about? I don't even know Jesus. And can I say to you that God loves you so much, that you were designed perfectly for a relationship with the God who made and loved you. But it is absolutely impossible through our efforts to even instigate what that means. But God has done something spectacular, outrageously, prodigally, enormously, lovingly, crazy, and sent his only son to bridge the gap, to go to the cross in your and my place. And the first step of that intimacy is me saying, thank you for the cross. I'm so sorry. I have been so selfish up to now. And I've been living for my way. Lord, I want to follow you from now on. I want your forgiveness. I don't know what that looks like, and that might be scary. But Lord, thank you that as I cry out to you, whoever calls out to you will be saved. But Lord, I don't want to just be saved until I die. I want to be saved. Live forever, but for now, follow you and help others do the same. follow you as well. If you've never said that, I'm going to pray now as the music group come back. And I'd love you to chat with me or someone you came with, if you're not sure. Or maybe you'd love to pray anyway because the burdens of life, you're struggling to lift your head beyond those things. There are great, great people here. I'm absolutely certain who would love to get alongside and give themselves to you. Don't do this alone. You were never designed to do that. Shall we pray together? Oh Lord, we acknowledge that sometimes, so often, nearly every day really, life takes over. And Lord, I forget who I am. I feel like Peter Pan in the film Hook, who's got old and he's forgotten who he really is. I feel like I've kind of got this memory loss of my purpose in the kingdom. Lord, would you just revisit, refresh? Oh, Lord, that day when I first said, Jesus, yes. Oh, Lord, thank you for the cross. Pour that into me now, Lord Jesus. Give me such a balance of your love, your justice, and the salvation of the need to follow. Lord, just bless my heart. Break it with what breaks yours, as we sang. Lord, help me see in the dark. Help me to worship through the betrayal barrier. Help me, Lord, to know you are God today. And as we hear testimonies of Jason and others who stand and declare the goodness of God, oh Lord, might it encourage us to keep on keeping on. May we encourage, comfort, and urge one another to live those lives, Lord, worthy of yours. And that we might live always in view of your kingdom and for your glory, in Jesus' name. For any who are not yours today, Holy Spirit, do what you do best. Quicken the coldest heart today. Awaken. Take the chains off. And Lord, maybe even for the first time, someone might step from death to life. So we give you the glory and ask you do something special as we give ourselves to one another this 2020 in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do pray. I'd love to speak to you. God bless you.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.